Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mom of the Hard Kid. The days have been really interesting lately. It's been a while since I've given an update, but this one is totally going to be about the current happenings between me and my reactive attachment disorder child. For those of you who have not been listening to us in the past, it is a hullabaloo over at my house. I have an adopted daughter who is 7 years old. I have three biological children who are older than her that range from 14 to 11. And life is pretty unexpectedly interesting. So if you want any of those details, I encourage you to go back through and try and figure out which one of those past episodes best helps explain where we're at in our life. But needless to say, or long story short, how about that? It's been hard. Hard! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. So one of the things that's been really difficult is she has a very difficult time telling the truth. She doesn't like to get in trouble, but she does like to do the things that get her in trouble. We've had a lot of really successful days lately, though. Her medication has been shifted. That's been going well for her. She's doing terribly at school, not scholastically. When it comes to actual learning, she is a champion. She's doing great. But when it comes to any kind of dispute with friends or downtime, she is terrible. She throws things, she screams, she yells at people, she gets in fights. There was a pee drinking incident in the bathroom. Like, just all the things where you just sit there and look at this kid and be like, ah, why can't you make a good choice? She tries. She genuinely tries. She's just terrible at it. So then at home, life has been okay for the last couple weeks. She got her medications changed. Her medication now doesn't just last until the hour before school gets out. It'll last until practically bedtime. Like, it's been so lovely. And I'm not saying that she's a perfect child on medication by any stretch, but I am saying it's definitely a manageable situation. However, we have been going through the zoo of getting her services at school. And what is embarrassing is just how little I really know about stuff. I think I know it. I research it. But then when you go through it, you're like, oh. So we have, oh my gosh, been doing this for maybe 2 years now. It's not supposed to be 2 years, but that's on another episode as well. So here we are. We finally hit the point where she has been approved for an IEP. And then today is Thursday as I'm recording, but it was on Tuesday that we have the meeting where they're explaining all the stuff they're going to do for the IEP. So they've been practicing these things. It's not stuff they haven't been doing. So I'll tell you what one of the things was and focus on that. So one of the things they do is she comes to school and they all congregate in the gym because it's cold weather where we live. They congregate there so that they're not outside freezing. The school start hours are a little not normal for the district. And because of her school location, there's no buses that go to the school. So everybody kind of comes early so their parents can drop them off, if that makes sense. So they have them be in the gym. And when they go into the gym, they're supposed to sit in their prospective classes until their teacher comes to get them. Of course, not only does my child not sit in her prospective class, but she starts fights, physical fights, screaming matches, all the things when she's in there. So instead of being allowed to go to the gym, she goes and meets her ninth grade buddy. So a ninth grader comes in and walks around the school with her until she has to go to class so that she's not allowed in the gym to start these kinds of fights. Fine. But what I just learned at the meeting on Tuesday, 2 days ago, is she is supposed to meet at the special ed room and fill out this paper. And the paper says, did you have breakfast this morning? What did you have for breakfast? And is your morning going well? Now, I'm going based off memory. I don't remember exactly everything that it said. And I'm like, great. That is great, because she does hate coming to school because she gets a ton of anxiety because all the kids tend to hate her and she knows that she does bad at school. And so she gets really anxious about it, which ends up being hugely problematic. She does this before she gets to school. And so lots of turmoil happens before we even get out the door. Then she's all wound up. And then we get to school and it's just a continuation of the problem, right? Let me take a breath here. So I'm reading this form and it says, do you have on clean clothes? And I think, okay, like my mind can go to a place where maybe somebody is a little bit nervous about the fact that they don't have clean clothes on. Maybe that's problematic for them. But I'm going to tell you right now, everyone, my daughter does not wear clean clothes to school. And it is not because she does not have clean clothes. She's got a whole freaking cupboard full of clean clothes, but she has her favorite things and she will climb into them even though they are covered with like Cheeto fingerprints and glue and markers. And I tell her she can't wear it. And it is a scream fest. Okay, so I just let her wear her dirty clothes to school to get more dirty. I'm sorry. I know you guys probably think that's gross, but you do it. You guys are welcome to come over and deal with that tantrum and see how long you care about this. She still takes baths. She still has showers. I prefer her in a shower because she tends to make a gigantic mess in the bath and the shower is enclosed, but she still does these things. But I'm like, okay. But the next one was, did you have a shower or a bath in the last 24 hours? And I think to myself, I don't understand. Like, to me, I'm like, this now feels like, along with some of the other questions that I can't remember, that they're now checking up on me. And I was talking to my mom about it, and she's like, well, they probably want to know if, you know, what the child's home life is like. And I'm like, you're probably right. It just feels really pointed at me for some reason. And probably because I'm defensive, and you will hear why in the upcoming moments. So at the bottom of this paper, which is really cute and put up really nice together, at the bottom of the paper, it says, tell me about your morning or something like that. And you, there's like these lines where you can fill it in yourself. And so my daughter has filled in these lines. Now, they only showed me two papers, but they're telling me a few things, and they're not telling me like terribly bad things. But one of the ones that comes up forefront in my mind is my daughter has a plastic clear backpack. She has this clear backpack because she steals stuff all the time. She wanders home with it. She says that she finds it. She didn't find it. Well, she did, but it was on her teacher's desk or in her friend's backpack or, you know, in somebody else's backpack, because at her school, oh my goodness, and I just love this about her school and I hate this, the kids' backpacks are just open for the whole school. Like, everybody has access to their backpacks. And I think if I didn't have the child I have, I would be so impressed that there was that much trust. But because I have the child I have, she goes and steals stuff that she sees out of these people's backpack cubbies, right? Whew, another deep breath. So where we are, like I said, there's winter. So in the winter, the bag gets pretty brittle. Well, it started cracking and she's like, give me a new backpack. And I said, nope, I think you can make it. I'm not going to get you a new backpack yet. So she then starts throwing it, cutting it with scissors. I cover it with clear tape so that I don't encourage that kind of behavior, or else she will just cut her backpack every single time she wants a new one. And with her impulsivity, anytime she sees somebody's backpack she likes better than hers, she'll want it. So I cannot have that be a thing, right? So then she starts throwing it and jumping on it. And so she'll get out of the car from school and she'll just chuck it onto the sidewalk. And of course, it's breaking. So I finally say, you know what? Let's order you a backpack. And then you, if you are good and you get 10 smileys 5 days in a row, with the understanding that Friday is a short day and 8 is as many as you can get, so know that that's factored in. I said, if you get 5 days with 10 smileys, because on the other days it's 12 is the max, I said, then you can have your backpack. You can earn your backpack. And she's like, great. So she starts trying to earn her backpack. But we sit down at the computer. She is sitting on my lap. And she says to me, I don't want the pink one because the straps are pink. And I'm like, okay, ooh, look at this purple one. Do you want to? I think you should get the purple one. And she's like, no, I want the blue one. And now as I look back, I'm pretty sure she just wanted the blue one because I suggested the purple one, but who cares, right? So I say, absolutely, you can get the blue one. I order the blue one. I stick it at the top of the closet, and then she has to earn her backpack. Well, it takes a while for her to be able to get 5 days in a row of just missing two smileys in the day. But she makes it 4 days, and I'm sending her off to school on the very next day, which is a Wednesday, the way that this is timed out. So she should get 10 smileys to be two less, not six. And she comes home with six. Again, not a Friday. I say this for her teacher who might be listening. So it's a Wednesday. So she got half of the total 12 smileys. And she is crushed. And I can't figure out what to do because I'm proud that she even made 4 days in a row with 10 smileys. And so I'm like, okay, you know what? If you wash the kitchen floors, then I will count that as your full smileys and you can earn your backpack. So she's like, great. And she washes the kitchen floor. She's actually really good at doing her chores most of the time. And I give her her backpack. So she shows up at school in a bad mood. And this is the special ed teacher who's telling me this. She's like, she was just really mad. And she's acknowledging, by the way, I will tell you, the teacher is acknowledging that this is kind of a silly reason to be mad. But she said, your daughter came to school. She's really upset. I asked her why. And she said, I wanted a pink backpack and my mom wouldn't let me have a pink backpack. She made me get blue and I hate blue. And I was dumbfounded. I don't know why. I don't know why. This is so exactly what happens all of the time. But the ease at which lies slide out of her mouth is astonishing. It kind of reminds me of a 2 or 3 year old where they just say stuff and you're like, it's so ridiculous. I know that that's not true, but for some reason it just comes out so naturally. So in a way, the teacher is like, I acknowledge this is silly. It doesn't matter what color her backpack is. It's too bad she didn't get the pink one, kind of a thing. And I'm like, she didn't want the pink one. She wanted a blue one. And you know, all that stuff. Well, it turns out it gets a whole heck of a lot worse than a backpack. Because my daughter goes into school, my 7-year-old daughter, and they're like, what's the matter? And she's like, my mom wouldn't let me have breakfast this morning. And I'm sitting there thinking, what do these people think of me? Right? Like the teacher that is her teacher who cannot stand her won't even look at me. Right? And so I'm like, okay, something is up here. And she goes, anyway, so what had happened is, we are supposed to leave for school at a certain time. And we were 10 minutes past that time already. So we're not late for school, but we try to get to school a few minutes early. So we're not late to school. So now we're going to get to school right as the bell rings, right? So we've gotten her medication. We've gotten all the things together. We've done everything. We're finally getting out to the car. And she tries to open the car door, but it's locked. So she does that little boom, boom thing with the handle. And as soon as she's done, she goes, oh, I forgot to eat breakfast. And she starts screaming. And I say, it's too late. You can't have breakfast. It's too late. Which, think of that what you will. Okay. But she woke up an hour and a half before this ever started. And she had herself dressed and she had her lunch put together and she had been playing soccer in the basement and toys that she rarely plays with in her room. So as frustrating as that whole thing was, I could wrap my head around the fact that other people could wrap their heads around our situation. But the problem starts this morning, 2 days after the IEP meeting, 2 days after I see these papers, 2 days after, like, at first I just roll my eyes and I'm like, and I take like a gigantic sigh, you know, like, okay, this is what it is. But today she wakes up and comes into my room and she immediately starts being really snarky. Like, she woke up on the wrong side of the bed and she tells me how fat I am. And she's saying this and how big my teeth are. She's like, "Ugh, your teeth are really big." And I'm like, and I say to her, "Hey, the things that you're saying kind of come off really rude. And if you say that to people, they're going to get frustrated with you." So that's what I say to her. Anyway, this makes her mad. She's not in the mood to be corrected. And then she continues being whiny, getting in trouble, et cetera, et cetera. And then I send my two boys down to go get ready for school. And my daughter is already gone, my oldest daughter. And she looks at me and she goes, "I'm going to tell everyone that you hurt me." And if any of you guys have a child with reactive attachment disorder, you can just imagine that they are constantly attacking the fences like the velociraptors in the first original Jurassic Park movie, where they're like, "They're checking it for weaknesses." It's like, you have to be so good. You cannot have a flinch. If they see you flinch, they will know that is a weakness, and then they will dig into that weakness. And honeys, I flinched. I flinched. I try so hard not to. But she's like, "I'm going to tell them that you hurt me." And I went, I couldn't think of a comeback, because the truth is, I am never winning that game, ever. If she wants to tell her teacher or the special ed lady or the vice principal that I hurt her, they are all mandatory reporters, which means even if she's lying, they have to tell, because I am an adult and she is a child, and most children do not use this situation to abuse their parents or be vindictive. And yet the children who have reactive attachment disorder and probably a few other disorders do. They use it for that. So I just flinched on the thing that is going to ruin my future. Like, I don't even understand what the repercussions from this will be, but I am already humiliated. And she saw that. I have no recourse. Nobody is going to say, it was funny because I was telling my mom and she's like, "Just go to the school and tell them she's going to say this." And I'm like, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I say. They have to report if she says something like this. And I was like, oh my gosh, I am just dizzy. I'm just sick, because I'm so tired of the fighting every day and the exhaustion. And now I'm so tired of having to be afraid of a future that is already pretty rough. Like, the outlook is not pretty and shiny like it is for some kids. And she's 7, you guys. That is 12 years, given where everything falls and lines up. 12 years before she is an adult. 12 years before she can be not tied to me and I'm not tied to her legally. And that's if laws don't change. There are some states where you are legally responsible for your child even after they hit the age of 18. And if you want them out of your house, you have to send them a letter, an eviction notice, just as if they were a tenant. And there are some states that even if your child is 19, and I don't really know this, this is just what I think on this part, that you can still be charged for kicking them out of the house. It can be a charge against you. And if your child is terrible and abusive to you, you can be charged with neglect if they are not a safety in your home and the judge doesn't care. So you can get criminal charges just because your child should get out of that house and nobody's there to save you. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't seem like there are a lot of people who are willing to save you. It is daunting. It is overwhelming. And so I've been asking myself all morning, what do I do then? What do I do? There's not a who to call. Like, it's not like there's like a parents are abused by their children hotline, you know? And I'm not sure anyone would believe the 7-year-old is doing this. And I don't think they would consider just being a big old jerk and causing tons of damage as abuse anyway, even though some of us are reeling from it. And so I think, what do I do? And the best advice I have for myself and for all of you out there who might be experiencing the same thing is to document your situation. Get those security cameras in your house if you want them. Get it on audio. Get it written down and have a documentation of the things your child does. Because if you do not have that documentation or those receipts, then you literally have nothing. Because they are never going to take your word over your child's word. Maybe if they get older, like maybe they understand that in adolescence, there are some liars. Maybe you'll get a good CPS, DCFS person. But all I can tell you is document it, record it, make sure it is in your stuff, because you're going to have to show your receipts. You're going to have to show that you have done these things for your child and your child has rebuffed them. That you're going to have to show as best you can that the style of living in your house is not an abusive style. Plus, I really, really wish I had it on audio or video of her saying that to me. That would have helped me immensely. They do have voice recorders that you can add to your phone so that you can record things separately. I have done that. I have so many recordings. I think it was like 80 hours or something of recordings over the years. I keep thinking I'm going to like put some up here, but I don't think I will. I don't want to embarrass her. I know that most of the stuff that's happening is not intentional. I know that she is just kind of messed up in the way that her brain functions, but I do want to protect myself. I want to cover my bases that way because it scares me. I'm so scared that I'm going to end up with massive amounts of legal issues and problems because she's mad at me because I tell her she can't wear a certain outfit or because I tell her that she, you know, is being rude when she's insulting me or I tell her whatever. Like, you guys, this life, it's nothing that I thought it was going to be. I think that's true with everything but and everybody, but I wish I could tell people and that they would understand that this is a functional issue with her and this is difficult and that when you have a neurotypical or a neuroatypical brain, that when you hit this level of atypical, that it's really hard to deal with. I was talking to my aunt and she said, is it hard to love her? And I was like, no, it's not hard to love her, but sometimes it's very hard to like her. And the truth is you do love these kids. I mean, you also can hate these kids, but you want good things for them. You want them to heal and you want them to be happy and you want them to be successful and you want so much goodness in their life. But it sure is hard to raise a broken kid in a world that doesn't understand a broken kid. Anyway, thank you guys so much for joining me. I wish you all the best in your parenting journey.